Sammy's also calling?
No, I don't think he's hearing this.
Alright. I think he's at my house. Okay, so, okay, so I think we're up to Mishnah Gimel. Okay. Tignos ish silcho kibul mishimon atzarek.
Okay.
Uhaya Omer. He said, Al tiyu kavarim ha-misham shemen es harav amanas lakava pras. Okay, so don't be like the avadim that serve their master for the sake of a reward. Okay. Ela havu kavarim ha-misham shemen es harav shalom amanas lakava pras.
You will now be placed into the conference.
Oh, we won.
Okay. Good news. Right. But you should be the avadim that serve the master not for a reward. Okay. Little what do you call that? Repetitive. Right? Saying the same thing in two different forms. Okay. So then Vihi mor shamayim aleichem. Okay? Alright. And the fear of heaven will be upon you. Okay. So, the thing is, let's just take a look at the Rambam. Okay. So the Rambam says that the Mishnah uses the term pras. So I guess the normal term would be schar. Okay? Schar v'alech. So the Rambam says, pras yikari hagmol. Asher yigamel ha'adam mi she'ein lo tov alav. Okay, so Ram says pras is something that is a reward or a benefit received from somebody that doesn't owe it to you. Okay, aval yase zeh al derech ha'chesed ve'hachanina. But the person gives you this benefit or this reward just out of kindness. Okay. Kamoshi Yomar Adam La'avdo O Livno HaKatan O Liishto, like a person would say to his servant or a family member, Ase Li Kach L'Kach, do a certain favor for me. Ve'etein L'cha Dinar O Shnayim, and I'll give you a dollar or two. Okay, so that kind of arrangement, that's not really a monetary contract. He's not contracting with them that he owes them the money. But they would do it anyways, but it's a tip. So it's something he's giving out of generosity, but not because he has to give them money to perform this task.
This is prize or award?
This is pros. Okay? The pros is something given out of generosity, not out of obligation. Okay? Okay, so he says, Zeu ha-hefresh. This is the difference between pras and schar. Ki aschar hu she nasein bedin. Schar is something you give because you owe. It's money that you owe bedine mamonis. You owe because of justice. You owe a certain payment to a person. The person works for you. It's a salary. Okay. Okay. So, right, so the Rambam is saying here that what? That the Mishnah says don't work for God for a pras, okay, but it doesn't mention schar. Okay. So, yeah.
I would actually even think that this is more favorable. Like, I think there's a bigger habmin, and I'd say to follow someone to that it's more justifiable to follow a master or more righteous to follow a master for a pras and not for schar, because with schar that means you're working on an expectation.
Okay.
You know it's like you're expecting something. With a pras you're not expecting something. So that would seem to imply they're really doing the action for its own on its own accord.
So you're saying you should work for pras.
Well, I'm saying no one really works for pros by definition.
You mean because it's something you don't know if you're going to get.
You don't expect.
Right. That's
so
true.
I would think off the bat that those people are more virtuous. The ones who aren't working don't have an expectation of a pro, you know?
Right. Okay. And right. And what is the implication from the Rambam? That the reverse?
Well, I'm just saying, at least off the bat, I was thinking, like, prize, these are people who are, acting with an expectation. Like, the only reason they're following the law is just because they want to get something.
You mean, so you're saying, schar, it didn't mention schar, because that is even a lower level. If a person, right, that certainly, a person shouldn't work for schar, he shouldn't say, well, I'm only going to do this on the condition that I receive the reward, and I must receive it, otherwise the whole deal's off. That certainly would be a very low level. But even a person that's saying, I don't know if I'm going to get a reward or a gift, I'm going to do it anyways, but I'd like to receive a gift.
Right.
Okay. It's better that that's even a higher level, but even that level, a person should not engage in. A person shouldn't have any expectation or any feeling that he should receive something in return for doing a meritorious act. Okay. Okay, that certainly is true. Is there another reason why we would say that to do mitzvahs for schar would be outruled? Aside from what you're saying is correct. That would be a lower level. But is there another reason why doing a mitzvah for schar would not be considered? We wouldn't even consider that case.
And why didn't we mention it?
Yeah, because what I'm saying, clearly he didn't. He's not even considering that case. That's out of the question, right?
Right. That's
so you're saying because it's a lower level, but I'm wondering if there's a different reason also why we couldn't consider the case of schar. Why that's out of the question?
Well, he's saying it's a lower level because if you're doing it for schar, then you're not. Then you're not doing it for the thing itself. I mean, you're doing it for the money. Are you asking for, like, whatever you're getting in return?
Right.
Are you asking for a different reason than that, or...?
Yeah, different reason than that. Right, he's saying that that's totally low shema, so therefore that's out of the question. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's say, forget about that. Would there be a separate reason why the Mishnah would never mention schar? Doing something for schar.
Like you're saying, like, we have our case... Now the Rambam's coming in and differentiating it from schar.
Right, the Rambam's saying, don't think that when he used the term pros, he's just using a generic term. Don't work for reward. No, he is isolating pros. Don't work for a voluntary reward. You see, and he's not addressing himself at all to schar. Schar is not in the Mishnah. Where it would be a payment, an actual contractual payment, that he specifically avoided that term.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't that miss the whole idea anyway of a mitzvah? Aside from, I mean, it's a good unto itself. I mean, it's
that's
not like, you miss the whole idea if it was like, it's virtuous not to do it for the reward you're going to get, but that's not why you're doing it anyway. It's like it's
that's right.
Kind of shifting into the wrong realm.
Well, so he's saying it would be lo lishma. In other words, don't do mitzvahs, lo lishma. So what's the difference whether I, in my mind, they're both lo lishma. In other words, what's the difference whether in my mind I say, well, I'm doing it for a pras or I'm doing it for a schar? I mean, they're both lo lishma. Right? So why does the Rama make a point of saying... And as according to what you're saying, you're correct that schar is even more lo lishma. Okay, but there would be nothing wrong if I include that in Antiknos's statement that he means any lo lishma a person should take out of his mind. Schar, pras, what's the difference? One's lower, one's higher, but they're both lo lishma, right? Why does the Rambam have to specifically? Why does he have to come along and tell you? Don't think that he's including the case of schar. That case he's not even talking about. Why not? Let's say you have a guy who's doing it for schar. So the statement would apply equally well to him. Don't do it for pros. And certainly, Kal v'chomer, you shouldn't do it for schar.
But isn't Aaron's point that doing it for pros by definition is lishma? meaning because you don't know if you're going to get it. So you are doing it for the act, like for the whatever you're doing, but the process is just an extra. You're not doing it for that. Isn't that what you were saying?
Yeah, yeah, I think I was going to say, I think we need to revise our definition of of pras. Just because I think before we call it, there's no expectation of it. So that means it's not something that's, so then how could that be? We're calling it lowest shema, yet we're calling it something which there's no expectation of. So I don't see how that could.
Well, let's just see if we can clarify. In other words, a person does a thing, right? He has in his mind primarily one reason, right? That's why. What's the major reason why a person is doing something? What causes a person to do an action has to be one thing. If you take away all the other things, why is he doing it at base, right? Okay, so when he says don't do for pras, what does it mean? It means he's doing a lishma, but he's also saying, hey, if I get a pras, that'll be good too. That in other words, that's not what he's talking about, right? We have to isolate each motive, right? We can't deal with two motives at once. So what is the man's motive? Is the man's motive, what about a case where a person does not have in mind pras at all? He's doing it for the mitzvah itself. And pras is not a factor to him. So then that's not what he's talking about, right? So he's talking about where the person is doing it solely for pras. We have to isolate each case. We can't say, well, let's take a complex case. I mean, so then what are we talking about? So take each motive. A person is doing it solely for pras. He doesn't know whether he's going to get the pras, but he's doing it because good chance he'll get it, and he's willing to take the chance.
Don't we say with gambling? I always say gambling might be stealing, because even though, like, yeah, you could say, because the guy really always has the expectation to win. He really thinks he's going to win. He's not going to put his money down to not win.
Right.
So here, when this guy, I mean, we can't say that's the case here. The guy, he's hoping that he might get a pros, you know?
Okay, let me just clarify a little more.
Right.
When he says pros is from the generosity of the giver, he doesn't mean you might not get it. Okay? In other words, the master says to the servant, I am definitely going to give you $10 if you do X. Right? The only thing is, that $10 is a tip. The difference between pras and schar is not whether you're going to get it. You're definitely going to get it. It's promised to you. But the question is, what's the promise based on? If the promise is based on a contractual obligation, then that's not pras. That means I tell you I'm going to give it. Now I'm obligated through a contract. I've contracted you. You see, that's schar. If I say I promise I'm going to give this to you, you see, but the promise that I'm making is out of generosity, not because I owe it to you, then that's pros. Even though you're definitely going to get it. Okay? So that's the case of pros, where the master tells the servant, do this and I'll give you an extra $5. He's not obligated to make that promise. You see, the promise is just purely out of generosity. But the servant knows he's going to get it. You see? So that's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam, what?
Can you differentiate from schar?
Schar means where it is, where the money is due because of a system of justice.
Right? So you're saying, so then both these cases, the guy is expecting...
You're definitely going to get it. Yeah, God says, if you keep the mitzvahs, you're going to have rain in your land, you'll have a good... crop, you're definitely going to get it. You can count on it. You see? But what the Rambam's saying is, that payment is not because God owes it to you. That payment is because God, his kindness, dictates that he's going to give it to you, but not because he owes it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to clarify that difference, isn't also the difference that you're obligated to do it anyway, the Eved or Ben, I mean, that's his example.
Yeah, they have to do the work.
They have to do it. I think that's the difference, is that you have to...
You have to do the work.
You have to do it. So the father isn't obligated, or master isn't obligated...
Through a system of...
It's not a contract between two equal people. Right. The guy's got to do it, but he's going to also pay him...
He's going to give him a tip. And he promises he'll give him a tip.
Because he's got to do it anyway. The Eved would have to do it no matter what.
I was saying both cases are Eved, right? An Eved either working for Schar or an Eved working for a pras.
Right.
Well, would the Eved...
So let's say you have an Eved that you pay daily wages to, right? So are you paying him out of the kindness of your heart? No. That's the contract. You contracted with an Eved, you hired the Eved, and the part of the contract is you're paying him $10 a day. Now, when you pay that $10, is that a reflection of your kindness? No, a man did the work, he deserves the money. Has nothing to do with kindness, right? Let's say I get an Eved, and the deal is he works for free, he works for room and board. I don't pay him, okay? Then one day I wake up in the morning and go, you know what, today I'm going to give you an extra $10. Is that a payment that I owe, or is that because of kindness? That's kindness. So the Rambam says, that's pros.
Yeah, he expects that $10.
He knows he's going to get it. I promise I'm going to give it to him. But the promise is based on my own generosity, not based on money that I owe him. I don't owe him that money. But I'm going to give it based on my generosity. And he knows I'm going to give it. He knows I'm a reliable person. I've never gone back on my promise. And I'm a righteous person. And he knows if I tell him that I'm going to give him a gift of $10, he knows he's going to get the gift. Okay? But he also knows that the gift is out of my generosity. It's a gift, but I've promised him that gift. Okay? So the Rambam says, where the payment is a gift, that's called pros. Where the payment is money that's due and owing because of a contract, you don't call that a gift. It's not a gift. On the contrary, if you go to the guy at the end of the day and say, here's a gift, I think that's, isn't that insulting? Right? It means I don't owe it to you. The job is so miserable that the whole contract's bottled, but I'm going to pay you anyways. That's not a gift. It's money I owe. Okay? So money I owe, you say, is earned. It would be a difference. Earned income. Earned income is schar. Okay? A matana, a gift, is not schar. That's pros. Okay? So if I say, if the Mishnah tells me that all mitzvahs have to be done lishma and not for an extraneous reward, so that should include pros as well as schar. Right? There shouldn't be any difference. Let's say a person works for schar. He's going to work for God to get schar. That's also lishma. So why does the Rambam have to tell us to be sure and know that this Mishnah is not talking about schar? Only pros.
Well, maybe you could distinguish between schar and pros in terms of how it reflects on the action that you're doing, meaning that if I'm doing something based on schar, that means I'm contracted to do this. So this action turns into this is my job now.
Right.
So this is what I do to make a living. But I don't really have this fully worked out in my head. But with pros, it seems like it has a different nature in terms of reaction, meaning it's more of like a favor you're doing for someone else, kind of like. Like between two equal parties, oh, I'll do this nice thing for you. It's like you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know,
right.
You do this for me, and I'll give you a little something for it. But not necessarily that you've put it into the realm of like your career kind of thing.
Right.
But
it's still gonna be a little shmah, right?
Yeah, it's still gonna be a little shmah.
Okay. But the things, yeah.
Can you distinguish between? When we're saying pros, are we talking about the benefit you get? Is it an external kind of benefit, or is it the benefit of like the mitzvah itself is good for you? In other words, Hashem gave us a system that it's not like a random system that has no benefit to us,
right,
to our life. So what, I just want to clarify,
it's
when we're saying pros,
it's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of benefit is he talking about?
Right, is it like an external kind of like you get extra some extra credit kind of thing,
right,
or is it the inherent benefit of the mitzvah?
It's a good question.
I mean, what would that even mean?
Yeah, which benefit is are we talking about?
That's a good question. But before we get to that, right, but it's some benefit that will result to you. Okay? I mean, if you want to learn just clear cut, say it's an external benefit. That certainly, right? That God will confer upon you some kind of benefit out of his kindness. The crops will grow. Say that case. Right? So you shouldn't do it for that, because that is lo lishma. Right, but the difference is like this. The difference is that schar, you can't work for schar because of two reasons. One reason is schar implies that I'm doing something for God. that I'm somehow benefiting God, and in exchange for that action, he owes me X. I did X, he owes me Y. Schar means that there's a contractual agreement between two parties. So I do X, and because of that, you are bound to give me Y. You're bound under a system of justice to give me Y. Okay? Now the thing is, you can't say about God that he is bound under a system of justice to do anything. That's impossible. Because a system of justice means that you have parties involved and there's a system over them that dictates how they have to act. You see? So now you could say each party is bound by these rules of justice. Right? But to have rules of justice, you must have somebody over them that creates that system. Okay? There has to be a system that they are under. Now, you can't say God is under a system of justice. You see, because God is the one that created the world. If he wants, he could take it out of existence. He is not under any type of obligation. There is no system over him. Then you'd be saying that there's some kind of judge or some kind of primary thing that God has to obey. There is nothing besides God. Everything that exists, exists because he brought it into existence. So the whole system of justice was something that he instituted. It comes from him. So let's say he wants to remove from existence everything that exists and the system of justice. You can do that too. Okay? It all emanates from him. So it would be absurd to say that he himself is under that system. That's crazy. So you can't say about God that he has to answer to a system. Where'd that system emanate from? That's an impossibility. So therefore, it is impossible to talk about justice and injustice when you're referring to God. That's an impossibility. So therefore, schar is impossible. Yeah.
Don't we have schar v'onesh?
Don't we say God's just? Yeah. Like what?
We say God's just. That's right. How do we say that? That would seem to be a total absurdity. You're saying God is just, really? Well, which dying are you going to take him to?
Even not necessarily which dying you're taking him to, but isn't he just...
What?
Isn't he just, meaning...
For the process?
I want to say by definition, but I know I can't say that with God, but... I mean, loosely saying he's bound by justice from the fact that he is God, meaning he's not going to do... injustice. It's like saying, it would be like saying, could God create a square circle? It's just kind of like an impossibility that he would be outside of just. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's perfect. He's always going to do the right thing, which is justice, because he's perfect. So wouldn't it be correct to say that, yes, he is bound by justice because he just won't not do justice?
He's bound by his own perfection.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put
it. He is bound.
What's that?
He is bound. He's bound by himself.
Now you're using a different term. You're using perfection.
Okay.
See, he's not, but you cannot say that God is bound by a system of justice. That's an impossibility. Because a system of justice is a set of laws that govern those people that fall under that system. Now, if you have people outside of the system, you can't say they're unjust. There's no system they have to abide by. You see, you can't say, for instance, like if God would remove everything from existence, that's unjust. Why is that unjust? Justice only emanates because he produced these beings and he gave them a certain set of laws to abide by. Now, if he removes everything from existence, now there's no people, there's no justice. So you can't say, it's impossible to say that God is just or unjust. That's not possible.
You can't say any of those?
What's that?
You can't say any of those?
You can't say any of that.
But by definition, whatever he does, wouldn't that be just? Meaning if we're saying justice is doing the correct thing, or I don't know what...
Correct according to what? Correct according to what system? You know? You say, if you work for me, I owe you money. Well, that's only because, let's say there was, let's say you had no idea of God, right? So why would it be if you work for me, I owe you the money? Because you say there's a government that's in charge that says I have a right to certain, I have certain rights that you can't take away those rights. Okay, let's say I'm a slave and you don't have those rights. Now you fall into a different system. Okay, so there's no inherent rights. Rights is because there is some body, some governing body that imposes a certain system. Now you have to comply with that system. So you can't say that you have a right to claim against God. What? What kind of a claim? God is the source of the system of justice. He's the one that imposed the system. See, the only thing you could say about God, when we say God is a God of justice, we don't really mean justice the way we use the term justice. What we mean is that God only acts with perfection. Okay, that everything God creates is perfect. So let's say, for instance, God would create beings, man, you see, with certain needs, but not supply them with the needs. Put people on the earth and not supply, not create a situation where the people could survive, where they could have a, where they could fulfill their potential. They have none of these situations where they could exist. So that would not be unjust, that would be imperfect. That would be a creation, that would mean that God created an illogical world, a chaotic world. There's no purpose, it's a purposeless world. That we say God cannot do. Because God's perfection dictates that everything that emanates from him has purpose and is designed to the utmost perfection. So if God would create people that have a potential and now thwart their potential, that would be a senseless creation. You see, you wouldn't say that's unjust. The people that he creates have no tie on him in terms of justice because he doesn't have to create them to begin with. He could take them out of existence. You see, so they have no rights vis-a-vis God. Hey, God, how'd you do this to me? Really? I'll take you out of existence. Then what rights do you have? You see, so the only thing you could say to God, the only thing that a person that would be applicable to God is that this creation is nonsensical. Your nature doesn't allow for a foolish creation. You see, then you could say, this is a foolish creation. You created man, and he has no way to fulfill his potential. That's nonsensical. You see, that you could say. But that's not a claim of rights. That's not saying, hey, I have a right to this. Forget about whether it makes sense or not. I have this right. You see, that you can never say about God. So in that sense, you cannot say that God is just or unjust, because you have no rights vis-a-vis God. You have rights vis-a-vis other people. So when we say just and unjust, really we mean that God's creations are all perfect. They make sense. Yeah.
So then would it be more correct to say that really, I mean, this might be a little more abstract, but would it be more correct to say that justice is really bound by God? Meaning whatever God does, that's what justice is, because
God dictates justice.
Right, yeah.
That's right. He created a system. Since he created man, now people have to get along in a certain way. So the question is, what are the rules that they have to abide by to get along, to function in the best possible way? What are the rules? So God set up the rules. Each person has rights, has property rights, has different kind of rights, and how one person has to behave vis-a-vis another person. That is dictated by God, because he created the world. And it's his will that determines what is the best way for this world to function. And that's the system of justice that he imposed. You see? So you could have rights against another person. And you could bring another person to a court. But you can't have a right against God. That would mean he's in such a system. And he's not obeying the system. That's crazy. You see? The only thing you can say about God is, in what way is this creation perfect? See, it would be imperfect for him to do certain things that he wouldn't do. Yeah.
I don't understand why you're making this particular distinction just between Schar and Pras, because the pras also, there is an obligation. He's saying, I'm going to give you a tip. You can call it a tip or
that's not an obligation. The pras is that this is the correct thing for God to do.
The which one? The pras?
Pras. But it is not, you don't, it's not, it doesn't emanate from a right, a property right that you have.
Yeah, but once you say you're going to give it to you, once, and take it in the case by the Adam, so once he says, I'm going to give this to you, do this thing, and I'm going to give it to you, for him, let's say, to not give it,
right.
That
wouldn't be just. That wouldn't be unjust. That would be an imperfection in the master, that he doesn't follow the idea of truth. His idea of MS is false because he said a statement. It would be as if he told the Eved a false idea. He told the Eved that it's raining outside when it's he's bringing about a falsehood. So he made a certain promise. Let's say he promised he's not going to. He promised with regard to himself, he's not going to smoke cigarettes. He broke the promise. So he said a falsehood. So if I say to the Eved, I'm going to give you something, and I don't do it, so what was wrong with that? I don't owe the money. The problem is I'm saying a falsehood. I told you I'm going to do it, and I don't do it. So that's sheker. Not because you have a right to it, but it's an ethical imperfection of me. It's sheker. I said I'm going to do something, I don't do it. You see? Schar would be not sheker, not just sheker, but you have a claim against me. You have a monetary claim.
So he's bound.
Pras, you don't have a monetary claim. The Evan can't take the Adon to a Bezdin and say, hey, he promised he's going to give me this. Okay, listen, he's a chakra. Next time, don't listen to him. But he doesn't owe you anything.
So, but what you're saying that the reason why the Mishnah didn't use schar is because Hashem's not bound by just.
It's impossible.
But it did use pras.
That's right.
Because, I don't know how to say this.
Because God's will is to benefit you. Because that's possible. It's possible to say that God's generosity, God's chesed, gives you certain things when you act in a certain way. That a person could imagine.
Wait, but why is he bound? But are you saying that he's bound by MS also?
No, I'm not saying bound. No, he's not bound.
So how come this one, why can't you say he doesn't have to fulfill that promise either?
He would fulfill it because it's MS. But all I'm saying is that a person that has a lo lishma motive to do mitzvos, to receive a reward, in his mind, the reward can only be because of God's chesed. He could say that if I do these mitzvos, since God is perfect, and since I act in a certain perfect way, so then perhaps God will look kindly upon me and he will bestow upon me some benefit. That would not be illogical for a person to think. That's what he said. But for a person to think, I'll do these mitzvahs and God will owe me, that would be illogical.
And that shouldn't even be, I guess what you're saying, shouldn't even be a havamina.
That's why the Ram says. The Ram says that he used specifically the term. He excluded this term schar because that would be an illogical idea.
So you're distinguishing between the illogical idea, which shouldn't even be mentioned, as even like a possibility that you shouldn't think, because it's just illogical.
Well, that's what he's telling you. It's illogical, right?
Right. I'm saying, but that's the mission.
That's
isn't even going to say.
Mission
doesn't have to tell you. Doesn't have to say that
right.
one because it's illogical. But the mission
right.
is going to say the one that.
That a person could think.
They could think, but shouldn't because... Because
of a different reason, because it's low lishma.
That's not an illogical thing. That's more of an emotional...
That's a philosophical idea.
Philosophical imperfection.
Right, philosophical. A person should... He's trying to teach you a person should act only lishma. But the Rambam is mentioning in a side point why he didn't say schar. Because schar would be an impossibility. It would be an impossible case. Whereas pras is a possibility. God acts through chesed. And if a person wants to have a lo lishma motive, it would have to be in the area of God's chesed, not in the area of din. That's all I said. Yeah.
So you're saying there's a difference between saying that God owes me this because I deserve it, and God owes me this because this is his will to do when I do these things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Out of his kindness, that's the way he acts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's schar v'onesh?
What is schar v'onesh?
Yeah. You say there's no such thing as schar given by God.
Right.
Is he going to system of
is he gonna reinterpret it every time? Like,
what's that?
Is he going to say that really schar there doesn't mean schar? It's like this idea of pras, but we use the term.
Right. Schar monish is the same exact thing. And schar monish means out of God's chesed, he created a system that when you act in a certain way, reality conforms to that. You see, in other words, if you...
So if that's what star means, then why can't the mission just use star? And everyone knows star means, you know,
right.
It looks to us like justice, but it's not really justice because it's God,
right.
And it's a press, so it just uses the term star.
That's a good question. Right. You say, why do they use the term star of Onish? They should say pras of Onish. Right, why don't they use that there?
But also, the word onish would imply the same thing, just on the opposite end. Also, a direct.
What's the opposite of
pras? Negative
pras. And negative pras.
Cross
pain, no
cross.
That's right.
But I'm I don't know why, but it could be saying that he could be saying like this is the place to teach the idea.
Right.
Not that we're gonna every time.
Right.
That's right.
That's a good point.
This is the place to teach the idea. Right.
It wasn't just a grammarian.
Grammar meaning in general, we use it metaphorically, but
I guess that's what you
hear. We'll review it.
What's the advantage of speaking metaphorically everywhere else?
It's more convenient.
Why is it more convenient?
It's more convenient to refer to it in human terms in general. Star bonus is how we refer to justice. But we're not going to every time.
We're pretending it's justice.
Like in general, when we refer metaphorically to God, God's hand and things.
That sounds
weird. That's because it's like difficult to say.
Every time we say God's gonna, you know, give us a pros, you know, when we do something wrong, we don't talk like that in general when we think of doing the right and wrong thing. It makes a lot of sense to use those terms, but it's not
implied.
What
you mean to say is that when man, without, you know, analyzing philosophically, man thinks of this as justice.
Yeah.
Even though really it's not man thinking.
Yeah,
of it,
but
so
that's
why
a, this
would
is
man think of it as justice?
But this is a philosophical conversation. Not the general man is not going to think this way. General populace doesn't think of it like that. They think of it as star bonish. I did something wrong, I get punished, which is. Makes sense for some to think that way. It's not crazy. Right? I mean, that's what the purpose is in general, I think.
Right.
It's a process for someone to get out of that thinking and return to its proper.
Is it a Coldplay?
Hello?
No.
Mark, hey, how you doing? Yeah.
Yeah, but Cindy, doesn't that beg the question? Because we use that term because
style,
it's because
okay.
That's what's already
the
term that we use.
Do it in,
but if we just called it process,
I'm around,
we were more precise.
15 minutes away.
When we use the whole term, if we just call it process, we'll say.
But no one thinks of it like that. No one thinks of it as. I mean, it's
okay,
it like
saying
Shemana
should be there by 5 after 10. Okay?
Meaning, like,
if he,
there's no such thing as a Shemana. There's no like Shemana thing.
All right?
It's just God doing stuff.
Thanks very much.
But we need to refer to it in a certain way to have, like, a sense of it. No one's going to refer to Schar Ba'onish and think of it as, like, pros. Like, if I tell you pros Ba'onish, it doesn't really mean anything to you.
But it doesn't because we don't use that term. But this is
no, I mean, you're going to think of it as Schar Ba'onish anyway. It's not going to do anything. The general man's going to think of it as Schar Ba'onish. That's how he thinks of when he does
so
a correct and incorrect thing.
But
he's
so
going to give
the wrong term. It's not,
using the wrong term. It's catering to what people do in general. It's normal. It's
now, okay, so here, you guys are
right?
Like he's saying we only cater to it because that's what we were given, though. Like
no, I'm saying not. I'm saying it caters to it because that's what people think. Even if
I told you
as a kid, pros for onish. If you do something wrong, you get a pros. I mean, if something right, you get a pros. Something wrong, you get a no pros. You're still going to think of it as star onish because that's what the general person thinks of when he does something right and does something wrong.
Yeah, but then when you start learning a little more, you
that's
realize
a philosophical
that the
conversation.
No, then you say, oh. The term is pras va'onesh, why? Oh, it's very specific, because pras means this.
Okay, so...
It specifically didn't say skar. Ah, that's interesting.
Right, but eventually you'll come to Pirkei Avos, and you'll come to that. Yeah.
Well, we should only help.
Need to
that's a different question. That's a question of why didn't Khazar focus on Scarva Onish, teaching the people what Scarva Onish really is? That's a different question, I think. Why? I don't know. They didn't think it was that.
It's a terminology question. It's not the. It's very easy to use the. Like you're saying, Shechina. Obviously, that's a very difficult concept to say differently. Right. But, like, to say Prasva Onesh, and then you learn exactly. Oh, there's.
That's not easy. Because it's
always very specific. I know, but you don't need to know it. So, okay, fine. So, there's many ideas that you grow up and you don't have the exact idea. And then at a later point, you get the exact idea. But then you also see why that term was used in another term. Yeah, now, you learned it, but then we're saying, oh, you have to use the wrong term. Why?
This is a different question. Mm-hmm. So you're asking why isn't Khazar teaching us more than they could have? That's a different question.
That's not what I'm saying.
You're saying
why they just say the right term? Fine.
Well, it's not the wrong. You can't say it's the wrong term. It's a generic term.
Well, here would be the wrong term.
Here would be because it's differentiated. But it's a generic. You know, sometimes you have a term that's generic and it's specific. You know what I mean? Like you say animal. Animal includes man. You see, but animal also means animal. So you say, oh, if I call man animal, would that be a mistake? No.
Right.
Because animal is a generic term. So the same thing, schar is a generic term, but it also, vis-a-vis pras, it is also can be differentiated from pras. But pras comes under schar. It's a form of reward of the generic schar. There's a generic schar and there's a specific schar. So over here, he's differentiating because he's talking about the person that's concentrating on the idea of reward. Now it's correct to break up, well, what kind of reward? Because that's the subject matter. A person that's motivated by the thing of reward. They're talking about motive. So now they want to make clear your motive has to be, if you're going to have a motive in this area, let's be clear. You see? But when they say schar va'onesh, they're not talking about the motive of a person. You see, they're talking about the universal idea that mitzvos, that following mitzvos leads you, reality opens up. And going against the mitzvos, reality stands in your way. So there they're going to use a generic term. It wouldn't make sense to say pras ve'onish. It's not commensurate. You see what I mean? In other words, there you're talking about the universal reality, that when a person follows reality, it opens up for him. So there you want to use a generic term. It's eschar, it's a reward. You see? And if you go against reality, things will go against you. That's onish. You know what I mean? How the onish works? Separate thing. But now if I'm talking about a person that's motivating himself based on schar, he's going into the area of schar and that's what's driving him, you see, so now I'm talking about schar in particular. Oh, not versus onish. Oh, now let's use a more precise term. You see, but sometimes it doesn't make sense to use a precise term when you're talking about a general area, because then you confuse the listener. He goes, you don't understand the comparison. See, so if you're going to say onish, you have to say schar. You have to use terms that are commensurate. But schar really means both. It's a generic and it's a specific. Yeah.
So we talk of some system of schar onish, right?
Yeah.
So there is some system where there is. So that means there is a system in which there is a, you know, direct.
Yes, a direct payback.
Payback.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So.
So what's wrong if a guy says, "Hey, this is direct payback"?
So hold on. So what? What is this system in which you have direct payback? Because we're differentiating that somehow from, in this context of God. Like you can't expect this direct payback from God, but you can expect it in this other realm, right? I mean, you don't relate to it. Like it's not like you're.
No, he's not saying don't expect it.
Okay.
You're definitely going to get it. The only thing is, you're not getting it because you deserve it. That's all I'm saying. You're not getting it because you deserve it in the same way that a worker deserves payment. You're not getting it in that way.
Okay, so there's a framework in which there's a direct.
You're definitely going to get it. Yes.
Is it? I call it a give and take.
Right,
whatever.
Give and take. That's
okay. Yeah. So, but that's not, but that is different from the framework of a give and take between you and God.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Tell me about that. Is
Say this again. Say that one more time.
So, there's a system in which there is actual schar v'onesh, right?
You mean between you and God?
No, in general.
Between man and man?
It's some framework. I don't know what it is, but it's not between you and God. Let's say God set up some framework in which you are operating.
Yeah. Like if I work for you, you owe me money, that kind of framework?
Right.
Just.
But somehow it's with mitzvahs.
No, there's no such thing like that with mitzvahs.
Is this talking about doing mitzvahs?
Doing mitzvahs. So he's saying you can't do mitzvahs. There's no framework like that. That's what he's saying. He says when it comes to mitzvahs, there is no framework of a schar. I see why you're getting confused. I mean, there is such a thing as schar.
There is a system of schar onesh.
Okay, yeah. You're using the term, you see, he's using the term schar differently. He's saying the system of schar onesh. You're using the same term. But schar v'onesh there means something that God gives you, not because he owes it to you. And over here, when they use the term schar, what they mean is that something God would give you because he owes you.
But here's the thing. We call it a system of schar v'onesh.
Yeah, okay, good.
That means there's a system. That means there really is a you know, direct...
We call it a system. No. We call it a system because we say God's essence dictates. This is a logical thing. God's nature dictates this should be. That's different than a system of justice is something that somebody else dictates. System of justice is something, in other words, you can have a system, not every system is the same. When I say system of justice, I just mean a rule, you have a rule of law over you. That's a system of justice. God doesn't have a rule of law over him, but God implemented a system of schar v'onesh.
So when we say system of schar v'onesh, that means for action A,
that's right.
Since it's a system, there's a definitive response.
Response, that's right.
But yet we don't want to say that in terms of God, meaning we don't want to say, I'm doing something and God is definitely going to do.
Well, let me just give you an example. Let's say, for instance, you drive your car into a wall and you get injured, right? Now, that's because of a system. There's a system of laws of nature. It means that when you do X, there's a certain system in force that you're going to incur a certain damage, right? So God set that system up, okay? Now, that's not because God is bound by that. He set up a system that now when you do X, you're going to get Y.
Right.
Okay, so that's a system when it comes to the physical world. But there is also a system in the metaphysical world. Meaning if you act a certain way, your soul is constructed a certain way. If you do certain actions, you're going to damage your soul. There's no way to avoid that. Just like if you do actions in the physical world, you're going to damage your body. If you do an Avera, you're going to damage your soul. And that damage is going to cause you harm. And you're going to suffer. Now, that's, right? That's not because God owes you anything. That's because you are placed in a certain framework and certain factors exist. And if you act in a certain way, if you act in one way, your soul is benefited, you'll have a better life.
So, we can't, again, I can use the word expect, but there's no definitive cause and effect or definitive response from God from an action, right?
Huh?
Like, for one of our actions, there's no definitive response.
There is.
There's a difference between deserving something, getting something because you have a right to it, even though you definitely know it's going to happen, and then getting something that you definitely know is going to happen, but not because you have a right to it. Both things will definitely happen. It's like that question you had before about getting a pros. You're definitely getting the pros, but there's a different reason why you're getting the pros. Not because you have a right to it, but because something in the master, he wants to give it to you. Whatever it is, it's his will to give it to you. Same thing here. God's going to do something because...
But is it definitely going
to
happen?
Definitely going to happen. Not because you deserve it, though. Not because you have a claim to it. He just... That's what he does. That's what he does when you do these things. When I knock, he does that. Whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? It's a cause and effect. I will. He will do this. He is kind. He will do this. Definitely getting it. But not because I have a right to it. That's the first situation. That's the contract situation. That's what humans do. Right? But because that's just what he does. That's his will to do these things when I do X or Y. Right?
Okay.
You have to differentiate between definitely getting it and definitely getting it because either I deserve it or it's just his will to do that.
So where's the proper to say there is schar v'onesh? Where's the proper to say there's not schar v'onesh?
There is schar v'onesh. The only thing is, we're just saying the term schar doesn't mean the schar like a worker gets money. When we say schar, we mean something that God gives you because he's kind. So he pays you back. But not because you have a claim against him. Now, there is schar v'onesh, but it's not because you have a right to the schar. You don't have a right to anything when it comes to God. The schar v'onesh is there because God wants to benefit you. Think about it. We're not saying there's no schar v'onesh. There is schar v'onesh. Every action you do has schar v'onesh. But we're just saying that schar v'onesh is not because you have a right to it. It's because God's will and his knowledge dictates that you should get this benefit or harm.
Okay.
Like, let's say you would do something, and if such a thing were possible, you'd get no schar. You wouldn't have a claim against God. You wouldn't be able to say, hey, this is not right. I deserve this. You're getting it because God's wisdom dictates you should have it. Not because you have some kind of claim on it. But you're definitely getting it. You're definitely getting the schar and you're definitely getting the onus for every action you do. There's no action that you could do that doesn't have a result. He's a V-God. Yeah.
I think what might be confusing is that, let's say if I do something and someone promises to give it to me, I'll say, I deserve this.
Right.
We don't use that
right.
in reference to God or even, like, in any promise.
That's right.
You might, like, this might, it's true, it might be the case that he should be doing this right now because he promised
he
would do
he
it. But it doesn't mean you deserve it because you are...
That's right.
I don't know, you are.
That's right. Like, you wouldn't be able to take a guy to court. If a guy says, I promise I'm going to give you X, right? And he just says words, right? There's nothing in writing. Just words. I promise I'm going to give you X. You could not take a guy to court. They say, well, what is it? Dvar Ba'al Olam. You have no legal claim against the guy. But would they say, this guy's a just guy, this guy's a righteous guy? No, he's a cheater because he's a chakran. He's a liar. But that's because his ethics dictates he should give it, but not because you have a claim against him. Whereas if the guy puts it in writing, now you go to a judge, he'll force the guy to give it. That's a different thing. That's din. You see, that you don't have against God. But the first thing, yes, God will do it because he's MS. But only because of his knowledge, not because of you.
And it brings the case of the Ebed or the Kutton, where I assume they were going to do it anyways.
Right. That's right. They would do it anyways. Like a guy comes to your house, you give a tip. Because of your generosity.
Yeah.
The cotton. Yeah.
Okay.
Cotton.
All right.